Hey folks, Brian Cook, your host here with a couple of words from our new sponsor, T-Fury. T-Fury is the original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. You can snag their shirts for only 24 hours starting at midnight. Missing a shirt from the past and want to get it again? Head to T-Fury Gallery where you can buy some old designs still in print and vote on others to come back from the dead. Every 2 to 4 weeks, T-Fury adds more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the return of your favorite shirts. T-Fury shirts cover all your favorite topics and fandoms. They've got everything from gaming, sci-fi, anime, TV, movies, pop culture, and more. Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like. Also, don't forget about the T-Fury After Hours sale. If you miss the day's shirts by only a little, they keep the sale going into the wee hours of the morning just for you. This December, T-Fury has some awesome shirts that'll make great gifts for the pop culture enthusiast in your life. So check out T-Fury.com and see what today's shirt is all about. T-Fury, wear your art on your sleeve.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Today you're going to hear round two from a show recorded January 21st, 2014 at the Nerdmelt Theater in Los Angeles, featuring Julia Rossi, J.C. Coakley, Julian McCullough, Ron Babcock, and Mary Mack reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First you're going to hear them choosing topics, and then we will fast forward to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy! And please welcome your round two comics we'll be writing based upon those suggestions. Ladies and gentlemen, J.C. Coakley, Ron Babcock, Julian McCullough, Julia Rossi, and Mary Mack. Start with Mr. Ron Babcock. Step up to the mic, Ron. Right there. That one right there. There it is.
Hello.
Ron Babcock, y'all. Clap your hands for Ron.
Thank you.
So here's how this part works. I'm going to draw one suggestion. If Ron likes it, he can take it and run with it. If he doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, but then you guys will vote with your applause on which one he has to write.
I'm so nervous.
You should be. You're not going to do well at this at all.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
Your first option is Arrested Development.
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Ron?
I mean, I like Arrested Development. It's not something that I expected. Like, I expected something like before when you were like, Rugrats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait. Oh, there. Thank you, Julian. The original or the Netflix run?
Right, because it matters. Do you want Arrested Development? Or should I draw a second?
Who here thinks it matters?
It's literally the same show. It's
oh,
same
everybody show. Thinks the Netflix run was as good as the original. You can all fuck off.
Are we drawing a second?
Is yes.
What's going on right now? All right, let's take a look. Degrassi. You can pick which version, apparently. I leave it up to you. Good people, with applause, who wants to hear Arrested Development?
I mean, I've actually watched Degrassi.
Shut up, Ron. Who wants to hear Degrassi? I feel like that's Arrested Development. There you go.
Oh, cool.
Sorry.
Clap your hands for Julia Rossi. Your first option is the actress Angelina Jolie.
That's too easy.
No. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
All right. The Sandlot. I think I know where this is going, but who wants to hear Angelina Jolie? Would you? The Sandlot. Julian McCullough, ladies and gentlemen. Julian McCullough. Your first option is Mad About You.
I can't believe a girl got The Sandlot. That is awesome.
That is
She's
sexist.
Gonna have to guess. What was it?
Mad About You.
Oh, I love Mad About You. Ah, but I love knowing possibility. I want to hear another one.
You want another one? All right. Adventure Time.
Oh, I know which one I want. Do I choose or do
you
they?
You do
choose?
Not. They do. You've been here this whole time, right? Who wants to hear Mad About You?
Oh, man.
Who here remembers Mad About You? Far fewer people than
nobody wants to hear
for.
About Paul Reiser.
Okay. Who wants to hear Adventure Time? In the back of a comic book shop. I don't know what you expected. Give it up for Mary Mack, ladies and gentlemen.
usually. Your first option is Labyrinth.
I'm turning my browser on.
You don't get to ready. Google it yet.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Labyrinth?
Was that singer in that? Mm-hmm. David Bowie?
David Bowie.
Yeah, I know it.
How do you feel about Labyrinth?
I'm comfortable.
It's up, so you can take it if you want it, or I'll draw a second one, and then they will vote.
Just let them vote. This is all about growing as a person.
Your second option is Roseanne Barr. So again, we leave it to you. Who would like to hear Labyrinth? Who wants to hear Roseanne Barr? Roseanne Barr it is. There you go, Mary Mack. And finally, J.C. Coakley, ladies and gentlemen. J.C., your first option is Clueless. I have a hunch you've seen Clueless.
Where that girl's on a murder. I have seen it. Who wants me to take it?
No.
I just wanted to switch
works.
The rules
Not
up.
How it works.
All right, you know what? I want to hear the second option, just in case.
Your second option is...
Clueless 2.
Too obvious. Full House. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. That's better. So, who wants to hear Clueless?
I'm from Toronto.
Who wants to hear Rob Ford? Here you go, J.C. Coakley.
Fuck you guys.
That's fair. All right, give it up for your first round one. There he is, Mr. Julian McCullough, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Julian McCullough, your first round two competitor.
Thank you. So I'm not going to get into my level of fandom on this show, but I want to thank Wikipedia for helping me with the following story. Okay. One day in the post-apocalyptic land of Ooh, or possibly Oh, Finn, a human 15-year-old human boy who loves nothing more than going on adventures and saving the day and burying his penis deeply into all manner of other cartoon characters, was walking in the forest. He was joined by his best friend, Jake the dog, who is also his adoptive brother, and who also has magic powers that allow him to stretch or shrink any part of his body to any shape or size, allowing him to sexually satisfy anything in the world, from Princess Bubblegum, to Finn, to a Game Boy looking thing, to like a stapler or a salad shooter. I suppose. I'm horny, said Finn, like super horny. I'm 15 years old, for Christ's sake. I may even take my hat off that covers my long flowing blonde hair and use that hair to tie something up and adventure fuck it. I know what you mean, said Jake, for I am a bulldog in my sexual prime. Let's fuck the shit out of something or someone in a way that appeals to kids and adults equally. And may garner us ratings of 2 to 3 million viewers per episode. All of a sudden, major recurring character Marceline the Vampire Queen appeared, voiced by Olivia Olson at her current age and Cloris Leachman when older. She becomes older, and with the voice of Cloris Leachman states, I'm older or something at the moment, and in my vampire adventure time peak, if you know what I mean. Mathematical or algebraic, yelled Finn, as these are two of his favorite outbursts, as we all know. Let's do it hand-drawn and have it take 8 or 9 months to produce. Marceline bent over and bit Finn in the neck, puncturing two perfect little holes in it. Finn became erect, because 15-year-old boys will get hard after anything touches them. Marceline immediately had a huge vampy orgasm, but with Cloris Leachman's voice. Jake saw the perfect little holes in Finn's neck and realized they looked like a vagina and butthole with a little imagination, which is what this show is all about. So he started licking the taint between the puncture wound. Finn came in his stupid shorts with the reckless abandon of a teenager having his wound taint licked by a magical dog. Jake got so excited, he shapeshifted into a smallish dick that had two little prongs on the end like an iPhone charger and humped the vampire bite in Finn's neck until Marceline, Finn, and Jake all came together. The whole episode took about 11 minutes and will be known as Finn and the Very Inviting Fuckable Neck Wound. This is the best episode I've ever seen, said Adventure Time creator Pendleton Ward.
Julian McCullough.
Thank you.
Who else we got around to? JC Coakley, ladies and gentlemen, give her a round of applause.
I mean, I gotta be honest, it was really high. So this was a huge mistake signing on to this show. I just want to make that very clear. Okay, so it's Toronto Mayor Rob. Also, I don't have an iPad, so that's it. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Don't ever stop fucking me, Rob Ford, said an echoey, mousy voice. From a bedroom at the end of a hallway, you know, like the hallway that's in that one Beyonce music video, Haunted. Yeah, you filthy ass, but probably super clean Canadian man who's in politics and stuff. Go ahead and stick that lamp in my butt. Maybe unplug it first, because I feel like that would be a big no-no. The voice rang clear over the loudspeaker at this local mom and pop bed and breakfast. It's 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night, Oscar night. Jennifer Lawrence won again. And the walls are pounding, pounding, pounding with overwhelming sounds of grunting and moaning from an unnecessarily large straight man straight tapping that decrepit pussy lips of an ex-nun turned huge fucking dirty skank whore slut fuck cunt bitch slash his assistant. Oh man, that was funny. Jesus fuck me Christ, I want that fat Canadian mayor cock inside my asshole so I can pay my taxes on time or whatever. Oh yeah, you fucking really hot Canadian hooker that used to be a nun but like no longer is because of the outfits are too tight around the neck and also happens to be nice because you're Canadian, really nice Canadian people. I'll stick my super overweight and politically loose cannon cock inside your ear or ass or whatever I can reach because I'm too fat or big to be agile, or at least that's how the meteor portrays me. Inside the room, we see flipped over bottles of Four Loko, Del Taco, and Froyo. Basically anything with a yo that I could think of in that back room is currently inside this room, including an oversized t-shirt that reads YOLO with a picture of Drake's face on it. Because that Rob Ford, he loves Drake. Because you know Drake's black and Jewish and from, you guessed it, Canada. Thanks. The ventilation in the room is busted, so he's dripping pounds of sweat just pouring from this overweight Canadian fuck's fat fucking body all over this ex-nun's body. One bead of sweat falls down his double fat fucking chin, and I'm sorry if you're fat. I ran out of words back there. And no one was helping me. Where was I at? Oh, one bead of sweat falls down his double chin and onto his stomach and falls so Casanova-like into her eyeball. She immediately squirts into his mouth, which based on continuity is actually, it's not possible based on positioning of where they are. But for this story, shut the fuck up. You get what's happening here. She came in his mouth. She then begins to convulse. Fuck, it's happening again, Canadian Rob Ford says. Another assistant is turning into a dirty, fucking, filthy vampire in a completely illogical way. Oh, man, it keeps scrolling. It's all right, that part's not funny. Oh, as her body begins to convulse and shake, her double D titties bounce so hard that Rob Ford's boner can't help but titty fuck this hoe all night long. Because you know that's how Canadians do. Her human form dying and her vampire body self-forming, he slides his dirty ass warty cock that has crack on it and stuff, because that's what he does, and that's what I'd read on TMZ, and he slips his cock in between her giant sort of human slash sort of vampire-y double D titties and just titty fucks that hoe all the way into the underworld. I wrote that as a rap. I wrote that part for sure as a rap. Right when he comes, her fangs form and she straight chomps, crunch, right down on his super gross and politically inappropriate dick. Oh, you bit me, you vampire cunt. I'm currently titty fucking you and you bit me. She said, there's no way. I'm happily married and I have more than enough to eat at home. Which is a quote, thank you. Thank you. Were you the one that suggested that you're awful? What you've done is gonna forever hurt me. That's a line that he said to the media. Whenever he once currently asked a coworker for oral sex, he replied, I have enough to eat at home. Vote for me in 2014. She goes, I know, that's why I said it. Regardless, I'm a dirty ass ex-nun slash vampire assistant now. You have to do what I say. She floated to the ceiling and began to immediately vomit, but the vomit was just froyo, so he ate it. Because he's fat. I don't know if the rest of this makes sense. Stop eating my vomit froyo. That's for me to have later for my four kids. You got four kids? What are you doing? Let me titty fuck you. You should just be home reading to them. I can't read. I'm a fucking ex-nun. You never read the Bible? No, nobody read the Bible. It's a long ass fucking read. Well, fine, then lick my taint. Okay. She begins to get down on her knees and lick his taint, and he begins to sing the phrase, it's a small world. It's a small world? It's a small... That was stupid. I have to stop licking your taint because I have to pick my kids up from vampire school. How are they already vampires? Well, I do not know. I did not think this part out yet. But I do know that when I get home, they're going to be vampires because I'm going to eat them. You don't eat them if you're a vampire. Why are you getting so political about things? Because I'm a politician. The next day, they were both on Matt Lauer.
J.C. Coakley and marijuana, ladies and gentlemen. Who do we got? Julia Rossi. Keep it going for Julia.
I've never seen The Sandlot.
Julian called it.
Okay. You know him as Scotty Smalls, but in his old town he was known as Scotty Big Dick. His family had to move to a new town because too many people had become addicted to the thick, throbbing cock that lived between Scotty's legs. Sure, Scotty was only a kid, but he had already fucked 47 women. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself and the women couldn't help themselves. It was an epidemic. Forgive me, I handwrote this and I didn't know what I was doing. Oh, God. Oh, families were torn apart. Pussies were torn apart. Scotty's dick was a monster. But Scotty wanted this time to be different. When he moved to this new town, he tried his best to control the beast that was beneath by not hanging around with girls. And that's when he happened upon the Sandlot, filled with all these boys. These young, vibrant, agile boys. Before Scotty knew it, he felt his bat begin to grow. And then he realized his bat was swinging in a different direction. So the next day when he arrived, ready, Next day he arrived, ready to play. When he showed up, Scotty had a black eye that everyone thought he got while playing catch, but really Scotty's black eye was from his own huge cock hitting him in the face. Scotty knew he had to play it cool. If the team knew that he was infamous Scotty Big Dick, then they would not let him play, and Scotty desperately wanted to play with all of those balls. So Scotty took it slow. First, there was Benny, the Jet. One day after, right? Is that his name? One day after practice, Scotty asked Benny if he could help him with his grip. Benny said sure, and Scotty grabbed his hand and wrapped it around his cock. Instantly, Benny was hypnotized. Wait, can you even read that?
No, but I didn't write it.
Okay. let's see. I can't remember what that says. I know what it said, because I remember what I wrote. Now that I read the next line, it was like, I know it was right before this. Okay. Benny was hypnotized. Benny immediately began to open up Scott's dungarees and began sucking his cock. Scott teased Benny by pushing his mouth away, and Benny cried out, please, please, Scotty, I need to drink your boy juice. Scotty kept pushing his mouth away and then pulling it back and pushing his mouth away and pulling it back until Scotty eventually jizzed all over Benny's Latino face. Then every day after that, Scotty would fuck another teammate. First, Ham, he porked him. Then Squints, he squirted on him. Then Yeah, he screwed him until he screamed Yeah. And then the brothers, Timmy and Tommy. Oh, those brothers were so special. Before long, the whole team was hooked on Scotty, and Scotty was becoming increasingly bored by the team. He had had his fill of young dick and wanted a more mature man. And that was when he discovered James Earl Jones. He heard James Earl Jones's voice, and it was smoother than silky soy creamer, and Scotty wanted to hear it moan. So Scotty placed his ball over the fence and coerced James Earl Jones to get it. When James approached, Scotty turned James Earl Jones over and stuck his dick right up his ass. But Scotty was in for a surprise, because just as he put his dick into his body, James Earl Jones pulled Scotty out of him, flipped him over, and said, oh, no, Scotty, you haven't met the beast. And then James Earl Jones introduces his dog, whose cock is 2 times the size of Scotty's. And then, I won't, I promise. I didn't have him fuck the dog, but then Bill's parents arrive, and Bill's mom screams out, Scotty, oh no, you've ruined another town. But even Scotty's own parents couldn't help but be mesmerized by Scotty's undeniable sex appeal. Scotty's mom licked her 2 fingers and began to furiously rub her clit. This is the worst thing I've ever written. As Scotty's mom continues to scream, you've ruined another town. Oh, God, you've ruined another town. Then Scotty... I hate this movie. Scotty's getting fucked, right? Oh, yeah. James Earl Jones takes his penis out. Wait, that doesn't even make any sense. Okay, sorry, I'll just skip ahead. I'm really gonna win this one. Bill then walks over to Scotty and begins jerking him off, whispering, call me daddy. I know that I'm only your stepfather, but I really wish you would call me dad. Scotty says, no, you call me daddy. And then James Earl Jones says, but Luke, I'm your father. And then Bill says, well, I guess we have to move again. As jizz slowly dripped down his chin. Don't even clap.
Julia Rozzi. Ron Babcock, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I had Arrested Development.
Buster sat on the couch polishing his hook. He had lost his hand when he went into the ocean where it was bitten off by a loose seal. He spied his reflection in the hook. His distorted face caught him off guard. "My God," said Buster, "I'm a monster." "You're not a monster." Buster snapped his head to the right. George Michael stood leaning against the door jamb, dressed in pleated chinos and a blue checkered button-up. He looked like the definition of a before photo. "George Michael, you scared me." "Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, Uncle Buster, although I can understand that having a hook hand is difficult." "Yes," Buster replied, "it is. Seemingly simple tasks are now impossible. I can no longer zip Mother up or give her back rubs or fold her sun panties." "Sun panties?" asked George Michael. "It's what I call bathing suits." "Mmm," said George. "It also must be hard to jerk off." "George Michael!" exclaimed Buster. "Where did you learn to talk like that?" "Sorry," stuttered George Michael. "I've been watching a lot of videos online about jerking off, and I remember you said you were left-handed, so I figured that since you lost your left hand that you would probably have trouble jerking off." "Oh," said Buster. "Well, that's sweet of you to think of me." "It was sweet, wasn't it?" said George Michael. "Yes, very sweet," replied Buster. "So sweet," said George Michael. "So fucking sweet." A pause came upon the room and became pregnant as the seconds ticked away. It loomed larger and larger until George Michael aborted it with a simple question. "Uncle Buster, do you need help jerking off?" "What, George Michael? What did you say?" "You heard me. I asked you if you wanted me to jerk you off. Don't tell me you don't want to. I've seen you rubbing up against the door jamb to the kitchen." "I had an itch," explained Buster. "Yeah, in your dick." George Michael reached for Buster's denim shorts, but Buster swatted his advance away. "George Michael, stop it. Stop it right now. If I wanted to do what you just said, which I don't, then I would just use my right hand." "But you can't use your right hand," protested George Michael. Buster crossed his arms. "And why is that?" George Michael bit his lip. "Because you need it to touch my dick." Buster looked down at George Michael's crotch and gasped. A quiet dick was resting peacefully on his pleated chinos. It looked like a balloon a circus clown would use to fashion into a dog, but this balloon was still in the shape of a snake. A long, thick snake. "Holy fucking shit!" exclaimed Buster. "I know, right?" said George Michael. "I'm not the most muscular of men, but that's because all of my muscles went to my dick." You should go see a doctor," said Buster. "Why?" asked George Michael. "So he could tell me that I have a case of the big fucking dick?" George Michael's dick was as thick as a Coke can and as long as a really, really big dick. "George Michael, I'm not going to ask you again. Put your thingy away." "I'll tell you what, Uncle Buster. I'll leave you alone, but only if you put it away for me." Buster looked shocked. He had never touched the private parts of a family member before. Unless you count the times he gave his mother Lucille a Brazilian, which he didn't. "But George Michael," Buster whispered. "We can't. We're family." "Family schmamly. I've made love to maybe dozens of times now." "What?" exclaimed Buster. "Well, I wouldn't call it love," said George Michael, "unless you count fucking someone in the ass as love, which I do because I love fucking people in the ass." "Where is this coming from? Who are you?" Buster said. George Michael stood up and tossed his hands in the air. "Who am I? Who am I? I'm George fucking Michael, that's who. I spent my entire life being afraid of everyone and everything. And you know what, Uncle Buster? You're the same way. I mean, here you are afraid to touch my dick and we're family. It's basically like touching your own, but you're afraid. Well, not me. Not anymore. 3 weeks ago, I was at school and saw Steve Holt in the locker room with the shirt off. I don't know what happened, but that man awoke something in me that I never felt before. I'm not a 40-year-old woman, and I've never had cancer, but I felt like a 40-year-old woman who just beat cancer and was ready to get her groove back. So I fucked him right then and there, and it was awesome. And I came like the Bellagio fountain, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I made it rain come. Then I came home and fucked maybe. In the ass, said Buster. Yes, Uncle Buster, in the ass. I'm not gonna fuck my sister and her cunt. That's gross. And you know what she said to me, Uncle Buster? What's that? She said, thank you. And I thought, if my sweet D could bring her joy, then it's my job, nay, my duty, to bring the rest of my family joy. Now, I'm gonna ask you one more time. Do you want me to jerk you off? Buster looked around the room for help, but none was there. He looked back at George Michael. Yes. Yes. Yes, oh God, yes, said Buster. I haven't jerked off in weeks. Finally, sighed George, as he slid to the ground and slinked over to Buster like a cat trying to steal food. George's young hands grabbed Buster's feet and slid up his calves and then thighs and then zipper. He could feel Buster's 4 inches raging underneath his denim shorts. Now, Uncle Buster, I do my jerk-offs a little differently. How's that, George Michael? Well, I don't use my hands. George Michael thrust his hand into Buster's shorts, removed his penis, and immediately put it into his mouth. Buster shot up in the air, but George Michael forced him back down. It was like watching a cowboy ride a bucking bronco, except instead of a bucking bronco, it was George Michael's mouth on his uncle's dick. George Michael's head whipped back and forth like a child refusing to eat his vegetables. It was violent and scary blowjob. George Michael just didn't use his teeth. He filed his teeth down on Buster's rock-hard stub. Buster wailed in delicious pain. I'm so close! I'm so close! Screamed Buster. I'm so close! What is going on here? Buster and George Michael froze. There in the entryway was Michael Bluth, Buster's brother and George Michael's father. Oh no! Said Buster. A torrent of cum exploded from Buster and painted George Michael like a Jackson Pollock painting. George Michael, what the fuck is going on here? George Michael pulled a handkerchief out of his back pocket and wiped Buster's cum off his face. It's like you always said, Dad, family comes first.
Rob Babcock. Keep it going for Mary Mack. There she is.
I actually just chose to take, my suggestion was Roseanne Barr, and I tried to keep it classy with this approach.
Do it up.
Very kind of artistic even. And okay, here we go. Hello, it's me, Roseanne Barr. And if you are reading this, it's probably because I'm dead. And these are my posthumous memoirs. Sex memoirs. Nobody would have thought that I, Roseanne Sherry Barr, would have had enough sex to write memoirs regarding sex. But what do you think John Goodman and I did behind the scenes of Roseanne, my Golden Globe and Emmy-winning sitcom lasting between the years 1987 and 1996, while those stupid kids tried to recite their lines? We explored each other's bodies. That's what we did, because there was so much to explore. Duh, Becky. That's a quote from the show. I hope you purchase it later on iTunes. The proceeds go to struggling farms in Hawaii. Sure, I was married to... I was married to Tom Arnold while me and Johnny G were exploring our parts. And sex with Tom was exciting at times, like when I won the Emmy and Tom dressed up like Johnny Carson and then used the Emmy statuette to violate me in my area backstage during the broadcast. Or like when I won the Golden Globe, and later at that show's backstage, I used that particular statuette to violate Tom in his area. Sentences are too long, aren't they? We had to use a lot of lube jelly. Yeah. because Tom wasn't very adventurous and only let me violate his butthole with hard inanimate objects a couple times a year. I actually forgot our regular lube that night at home and had to borrow anything slippery we could get from Golden Globe hosts Tim Allen, Kirstie Alley, and Dennis Miller. Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley were down with it, but let me tell you, Dennis Miller is really not into sticking things up other men's asses. Remind me to never ask him for a Green Party endorsement. Ha! Bet you didn't know I tried to get the Green Party endorsement in 2012. P.S. I also fucked Ralph Nader. Okay. Anyway, fell flat. I don't know. Anyway, Tim Allen, he always carries WD-40 with him on account of that dumb show he was on. And he spritzed the Golden Globe Award down and also used that little red straw that comes with the WD-40 to shoot some grease directly up my husband Tom Arnold's ass shoot. Well, needless to say, Tom accidentally climaxed at this sensation even before we could fit the Golden Globe inside of there. And Tim Allen took all the glory away from me. But as unsophisticated as Tom was, he had one good skill, and that was to aim his Peter sauce right exactly. Did that come out right?
Yeah, people Peter know? Sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, they know.
He could aim it right exactly where he wanted it, which was on Kirstie Alley's face. Now, that was convenient for us because Kirstie was just starting to get fat and sweated profusely. So I simply scraped some of Tom's sperm juice off Kirstie's face, and that combined with her pre-dancing with the stars concentrated perspiration created a real magical type jelly with high viscosity that I used to coat that Golden Globe Award down and cram it into Tom's hairy poop cavity. Oh boy, easy in, hard out. That. That was the saying for that night. That Emmy got lodged in Tom's poop chute and led to the demise of our marriage in 1994. I didn't care. I was aroused. Finally, ha! Kirstie Alley and I had to go scissor it out in the green room while we shared liposuction stories. PSS, liposuction fat, if you save it and store it right, makes one hell of a lubricant. You can get both an Emmy and a Golden Globe Award into any tight nook using liposuction fat. Anyway, that's off track. I was saying I was aroused because Tom, while me and Tom Allen and Kirstie Alley violated him with the Golden Globe, was disguised as Cincinnati Reds coach Jackie Moore. And as we jammed that Golden Globe, which is difficult to jam a Golden Globe because it's a globe on one side and then quite a distance away there's some sort of angel with very sharp wings protruding out of it. As we tried to jam that up into his descending colon, Tom, disguised as Reds coach Jackie Moore, yelled, "Play ball!" And that's when I knew I could never be sexually satisfied again. Until I had slept with every Cincinnati Reds baseball player while they were conveniently playing at San Diego's Jack Murphy Stadium, just a short jaunt down from where I was filming my show. Hell, I could even take the train. I'd be too sore to drive back. Ha! And so begins the most substantial chapter of my sex memoirs, entitled July 25th, 1990, How I, Roseanne Sherry Barr, fucked the entire Cincinnati Reds team and then sang the Star Spangled Banner and then couldn't help but grab my crotch because of all the crabs I got doing it with all those dirty National Leaguers. I know it's a long title, but I think this will be your favorite part of the Roseanne Barr sex memoirs. PSSS. Cincinnati Reds isn't just the name of the 1990 World Series champs, but it's also the name of a sexually transmitted organism known for its fierce biting miniature mandibles and bright red markings. Duh, Becky! Sorry for the callback, but my roots are in stand-up comedy. That's in the last chapter. Enjoy! Ha!
Mary Mack. Mary, you can stay right here. Let's get everybody from round two back up. So once again, I'll remind you what everybody read, and then we will vote on a winner. We started with Jillian McCullough with Adventure Time. Hold on. Then J.C. Coakley with Rob Ford. Then Julia Rossi with Sandlot. Ron Babcock, Arrested Development. And Mary Mack with Roseanne Barr. So pick a favorite with your applause, starting with Jillian McCullough, Adventure Time. J.C. Coakley, Rob Ford. Julia Rossi, The Sandlot. Ron Babcock, Arrested Development. Mary Mack, Roseanne Barr. Your round two champion. She kept it classy, ladies and gentlemen. Mary Mack.
Nice work.
Big round of applause for all the comps you saw in round two. That does it for round two, and congratulations, Mary Mack. To hear round one from this show, featuring five comics reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing, go back and download episode 51. Hey, if you like what you heard today, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. Negative comments can always be directed to the podcast Terrified with Dave Ross. Upcoming live shows include February 18th, 2014 at Nerd Melt in Los Angeles, March 7th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, and March 8th at the Davis Square Theater in Boston. For more details, you can join the competitive erotic fanfiction Facebook group or follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.